What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the program. On this episode, we're going to talk about a Seattle podcaster and her husband who were killed by a crazed maniac who listened to her podcast and then started stalking her. I mean, that's the kind of world we live in. A world full of absolutely degenerate, sick people who really just have no business being amongst the rest of us. So let's dive into this article from the Daily Mail and let's see what's going on. Headline, Seattle podcaster and her ex-Google engineer husband killed at their $1.6 million home by crazed Texas trucker who stalked her after listening to her show. This article was authored by Stephen M. Lepore. Boy, I can't even imagine some psychopath lunatic person who listens to your content then decides they're going to start stalking you. You have to be absolutely deranged to think that's a good idea. And obviously, this lunatic was certainly that. A Seattle podcaster and her ex-Google engineer husband, who were shot dead by a crazed stalker, have been pictured hours after being slain at their $1.6 million home. Zora Sedregi, 33, a self-styled techie, was shot and killed by Texas trucker Raman, oh, I'm going to kill this last name, sorry folks, Kota Karamrezi, 38, with a handgun on Thursday night at her $1.6 million home in Redmond, Washington. Kota Karamzari climbed through a window at 2 a.m. and shot Sadegi and her husband Mohammed Nazari, 35, then killed himself. Here's an idea. Avoid all of that. Don't go to this lady's house. Don't kill her. Don't kill her husband. Put that gun directly in your mouth and blow your own brains out before any of this happens. That's the desired outcome. Sadegi's mother was inside the home at the time and was able to escape to a neighbor's house and call 911. Can you imagine being this lady's mom? Hear all this commotion, come to find out your daughter and your son-in-law were murdered. This poor lady is going to have to deal with all kinds of emotions, never mind the fact that her daughter was killed. But survivor's guilt is certainly something that will probably be in play here. A lot of times when somebody survives something like this and other people die, the person who survives, they're really afflicted by survivor's guilt, and it really weighs heavy on them for the rest of their life. Police say Kay, that's what we're going to call this dude because his last name is very difficult for me to pronounce, first found Sadegi through a podcast about finding work in tech and became so obsessed with her that she filed the restraining order against him. Can you imagine what's wrong with people? Like, honestly, leave people alone. Just because somebody's on TV or they have a podcast or they have a blog doesn't mean you have instant access to their lives. Doesn't mean that you can stalk them or show up at their house or anything like that. Leave people alone. I just don't understand. Social media has made people real, real comfortable being real, real stupid. And frankly, it's one of the main reasons I don't bother with it. You have a bunch of do-nothing people sitting on social media who talk trash to people who are actually out there creating and being in the arena. Meanwhile, Cheetos Hands McGillicuddy's over here tugging his nerd in his mom's basement and talking trash to everybody else. Meanwhile, if dude was ever in front of the people he's talking trash to, he would never say anything like that. But having the anonymity of hiding behind a computer or a screen name or whatever, that gives you the ability to be a real tough guy. They told the Seattle Times that Kay's work as a trucker made him hard to nail down. On February 22nd, just weeks before the killing, records show that Kay sent Nazari 82 texts on Telegram, and she told police he had once called her more than 100 times in a day. Another reason why I don't give my phone number out. I mean, for real? Especially to strangers. No thank you. I'll pass. Redmond Police Chief Daryl Lowe said that Sadegi contacted them in December 2022, saying that Kay's interest had intensified. This led to a temporary order of protection being signed against Kay on March 3rd, with a hearing scheduled for 2 weeks later. Kay had also been charged with 2 counts of telephone harassment and 1 count of stalking. A bench warrant was issued with bail set at $100,000. Now, if it was my wife who was getting these kinds of threatening calls, all this nonsense, I would have the house completely fortified, especially if I had enough dough to live in a $1.6 million home. I would have all kinds of security systems installed, and honestly, to be very frank with you, I would have a lot of firearms in that home as well, and let somebody crawl in the window and hear that shotgun get racked one time. That is the ultimate get-out-of-my-house noise. Both husband and wife were software engineers, with Sadeghi having worked at Promontory Mortgage Path, according to her LinkedIn page. The couple were married around 2011 and bought the Redmond home in 2021. According to his LinkedIn page, Nazeri had joined Amazon as lead software engineer in January 2022 after working for Google. So a couple that was on their way, right? They had everything locked in. They were doing well for themselves. She decided she's going to start a podcast, a tech podcast, and they were living that American dream until this sick, degenerate son of a bitch had to come in and ruin everything. Nazeri wrote in the petition for the no-contact order that Sadeghi first told him about Kay in late 2021, describing him as a member of a new friend group. Kay was divorced with a child, but had no prior criminal record. Court records obtained by DailyMail.com describe how the pair met in person in 2022 and how Sadeghi hid some of their interactions from her husband. Ah, so it all starts to make sense here. Yes. Was she having an affair with this dude? Very possible. Very, very possible. You don't go and meet up with somebody without letting your husband know. That's not a good idea, especially something like this. I am completely honest with my girl. No matter what I do, I tell her. You have to have that honesty if you're going to have a real relationship that matters. If there's no honesty and you're hiding things, you're not telling your dude you're going to meet up with some other dude in person, things can go left real quick. The friendship turned sinister and resulted in her begging him to leave her alone. Now, was it a friendship that soured, or were they romantically inclined and that went south? And that's how he became obsessed with her. Because when the story first started, it was like he was just obsessed with hearing her content, right? And I haven't read through this story yet, like usual. I like to read through it with you folks live on air here so that we get that visceral reaction. So at first, it looks like he was just listening to her podcast and the content and started following her from that. But as you get deeper and we get more context, it seems like they were in some sort of relationship. Now, was it romantic? I don't know. But it seems like it was. Hauntingly, in a petition filed just last month, she pleaded, "He has bursts of anger and is completely delusional. These delusions make me fear for my life and the lives of my loved ones." Man, that's haunting. She puts that in the petition, and then after that, this dude comes and actually kills her and her husband. She told police how he'd shown up at their home uninvited, delivering flowers, and even once promising to send a musical band to play outside. Yeah, I don't think they were just friends, sorry. Hate to say it, but looks like something else was going on here. "He contacted my husband and continues to do so. He has come to my neighborhood several times, staying at inns around my neighborhood. He has parked down my street in hopes of seeing me. At one point, he threatened to end our marriage. I am suffering a deep-seated fear for my safety," she said. Yo, at what point, as her husband, do you go down the street while he's sitting there and extract that dude from the car and bust his shit? It wouldn't take long for me. Look, I'll just be honest with you folks. You show up at my house, you better show up with a good reason to be there. Because if not, we're going to have a big problem. Especially if the police have already been contacted and they're not doing anything about it. The second you start threatening my family, all bets are off. There is no length that I will not go to protect the people I love. And if you show up in front of my house talking all kinds of nonsense to my wife, you better be ready for the repercussions that are going to come with that. She included call logs which demonstrate how frequently he phoned her and left messages and told police that he would sometimes park down the street in hopes of catching a glimpse of her. Sadeghi blocked him on WhatsApp, Telegram, Instagram, and her phone's call application, but he began to start contacting Nazeri as recently as February of 2023. On February 22nd, Just weeks before the killing, records show that Kay sent Nazeri 82 texts on Telegram. Yeah, that's not crazy or anything. Anyone sending you that many texts is obviously a lunatic. Jamie Lee Burns, a woman who was set to move into the home across the street from Sadiki and Nazeri, was stunned by the murders. She said she'd visited the house just a week and a half ago and saw Sadiki's mother watching diligently out a window. I wonder now if she was maybe, you know, like on high alert, Burns told the Daily Beast. Burns called it shocking that something like this would happen in Redmond and said the couple had welcomed her to the neighborhood with open arms. They were just so friendly and inviting, Burns said. We were like, oh my gosh, we couldn't have found better neighbors. People are straight up crazy. We talk about that all the time here on this podcast, and I'll continue to shout that from the rooftops. There are so many crazy people out there that it's almost hard to wrap my mind around it. And every time we hear a story like that, it just confirms my opinions. And it seems like on a daily basis, we hear stories like this. But it's certainly a cautionary tale for content creators out there about getting too close to people that are listeners or anything like that, because the sad truth is, you just don't know who you're dealing with. And unfortunately, for Miss Sadiki, that's a lesson that she's learning too late. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this one. All of the information that goes with the episode can be found in the description box.